Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Welcome to Ask, Seek, and Knock with our Shabbat teaching by Jackie Smith.
Well, I've got joy, joy, joy in my heart.
Shabbat Shalom, folks. Welcome to Shabbat Study. We air this study every Saturday, Shabbat at noon. If you wish to join us in chat during the study, simply go to KMSR1700AM.com and click on the Shabbat Study page link in the menu. You will see the chat box there. The live radio link is also there as well for those wishing to join us in fellowship today. You can click on the Skype fellowship link at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time and fellowship with us. Shabbat Shalom, and hope to see you there. Shabbat Shalom, brothers and sisters, and thank you so much for joining us for Shabbat Study. We are so happy that you are here. I know that we said that we were going to continue with another teaching concerning man's holidays versus Yahovah's holy days. However, it's going to take weeks to put together a teaching of the subject that I want to present, so that teaching will be delayed a bit. We are going to talk about the subject of, are you ready for this? What does the scripture say about marriage? When a man and a woman decide to marry, what's next? Let's look into the scripture to see what Yahovah tells us about it. Let's open with prayer. Heavenly Father, you are one. Your grace and your mercy abound. You are the maker of all things, Heavenly Father Yahovah, our Elohim, and Yeshua, you are our Messiah, the Son of Yahovah Elohim. Thank you for teaching us your Father's Torah. Thank you so much for becoming the living word of Yahovah by doing his will. Now, not only do we have the written word, we also have the living word. Praise Yahovah for the Son, Yeshua, our Messiah. Father Yahovah, please give this assembly wisdom in the Spirit to understand the words that will be taught this day. And please give understanding and wisdom to the teacher of this message. We love you and show you we love you by keeping your commands, and not because we have to, but because we want to. We have a strong desire to keep your will, and we'll do it to the very best of our ability. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Through Yeshua Messiah, all things are possible. Thank you for loving us and showing us how to love you. We praise you and glorify you. In the precious name of Yeshua, our Messiah, we pray these things. Amen. All right. Again, Shabbat Shalom, brothers and sisters. Welcome to another edition of Ask, Seek, and Knock Shabbat Study. It may be a surprise to you that marriage is mentioned way back in the beginning of the book concerning Adam and Eve. Let's start with Genesis 2, 18 through 25. That's Genesis 2, 18 through 25. And Yahovah Elohim said, "It is not good for man to be alone, and I am going to make a helper for him as a counterpart." And from the ground Yahovah formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called each living being, that was its name. So the man gave names to all livestock, and to the birds of the heavens, and to every beast of the field. But for the man there was not found a helper for him, as his counterpart. So Yahovah Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall on the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And the rib which Yahovah Elohim had taken from the man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man, and the man said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one is called woman, because she was taken out of man. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, yet they were not ashamed." Okay, think about it. Yahovah Elohim is concerned for Adam's loneliness and tells us it is not good for man that he should be alone, and decides to put Adam to sleep, take a rib from him, and forms a woman. The woman is a helper, which is a counterpart. What exactly does that mean? Well, the man and the woman are partners that are fit for one another. The man will cleave to his wife and become one flesh with her, and she with him. Adam also had the privilege of calling his wife woman, because she was taken out of man. In fact, Genesis 2:24 even calls Eve Adam's wife. I'd like to go even further back to Genesis 1:27. That's Genesis 1:27. And Elohim created the man in his image. In the image of Elohim, he created him. Male and female, he created them. In this verse, Yahovah is telling us that he created both man and women in his image. I tell you the truth, that though man is to be the spiritual leader, both men and women are equals, evidenced by Yahovah telling us that both were created in his image. I can tell you from my experience that where my wife is weak, I am strong, and likewise, where I am weak, she is strong. Yahovah designed man with certain weaknesses, which cause men and women to need each other. And this was before the fall of man. That is how I know this was Yahovah's design from the beginning. Remember Genesis 2:18, which stated it was not good that man should be alone, again indicating that man needed a counterpart. Yahovah's plan is indeed perfect. I want to also mention that because man and women need each other, I would like to touch on how we are to treat each other and who has authority over who. This may surprise you. Let's start with 1 Corinthians 7, 1 and 2. That's 1 Corinthians 7, 1 and 2. And concerning the matters you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, but because of whoring, let each one have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Again, that's 1 Corinthians 7, 1 and 2. It is clear to see here that men and women, have a tendency to fall into trouble with fornication if they are not careful. It is therefore good for the man and the woman to marry in order to avoid such things. Here's a very important thing that many couples do not know concerning who has authority over the other. I know that most people think men have the ultimate authority over women, but further study indicates something again that may surprise you. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 7, 3 and 4. That's 1 Corinthians 7, 3 and 4. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Okay, I guess that means we're done, right? We can go home? No. Let's keep reading, okay? And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. That's 1 Corinthians 7, 4. Remember what we talked about in Genesis 2. Yahovah made men and women. He made them both in his own image. They are equals in his eyes. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 7, 5. That's 1 Corinthians 7, 5. Do not deprive one another except with agreement for a time to give yourselves fasting and prayer. And come together again so that Satan does not try you because of your lack of self-control. 1 Corinthians 7, 5. In fact, Yahovah has told us in Deuteronomy 24, 5, this about newlyweds. That's Deuteronomy 24, 5. When a man has taken a new wife, let him not go into the army, nor let any matter be imposed on him. He shall be exempt 1 year for the sake of his home, to rejoice with his wife whom he has taken. Again, that's Deuteronomy 24, verse 5. Let me tell you that this is not practiced in this age, in that many people get married right when the husband has to go away for training or war. We could learn something from the scriptures because Satan takes this opportunity to mess with both men and women. And they often commit adultery and ultimately divorce as a result. Sad but true. And more often than not, there are children involved. How's that for a mess that was not intended from Yahovah? The above scenario, often leading to divorce, flies in opposition against Matthew 19:3-9. That's Matthew 19:3-9, which states in red letter words from our Messiah, "And the Pharisees came to him, trying him, and saying to him, is it right for a man to put away his wife for every reason? And he answering said to them, did you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so that they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what Elohim has joined together, let no man separate. Yahovah made them man and woman. They said to him, why then did Moshe command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? He said to them, because of the hardness of your hearts, Moshe allowed you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever puts his wife away except on the grounds of whoring and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who has been put away commits adultery. Again, that's Matthew 19:3-9. Does it sound like Yeshua is doing away with the law or Torah? No, in fact, Yeshua, our Messiah, is tightening the reins on the law in Matthew 19:9 when he states that whoever puts away the spouse except for whoring and marries another commits adultery. Now, let's take a minute to put this into perspective. We are going to look up the word whoring in the Strong's Real Greek Dictionary. Whoring translates to porneia, which is the Strong's number 4202, which comes from the Strong's number 4203, which translated is harlotry, including adultery and incest, and, are you ready for this? Idolatry, which is fornication. Idolatry is considered a form of fornication. So indeed, whoring also means idolatry, which is fornication. Have you heard of type and shadows before? Well, we're going to talk about that just for a minute. Let's look up a type and shadow concerning idolatry and playing the harlot. For that, let's go to Jeremiah 3:6, and we're going to go all the way to verse 12. So that's Jeremiah 3:6-12. And Yahovah said to me in the days of Yoshiahu, the sovereign, who you may know as King Josiah, have you seen what backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree, and there committed whoring. Well, let me just stop for a second here, because as you may recall, that's idolatry, brothers and sisters, which is likened to whoring. Let's continue from verse 7. And after she had done all these, I said, return to me. But she did not return, and her treacherous sister Yehuda, which is Judah, saw it. And I saw that for all the causes for which backsliding Israel had committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a certificate of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Yehuda did not fear, but went and committed whoring too. Remember, that's idolatry, people. And it came to be, through their frivolous whoring, that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and wood. And yet, for all this, her treacherous sister Yehuda has not turned to me with all her heart, but falsely declares Yahovah, and Yahovah said to me, backsliding Israel has shown herself more righteous than treacherous Yehuda. Go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return, O backsliding Israel, declares Yahovah. I shall not look on you with displeasure, for I am lovingly committed, declares Yahovah, and I do not bear a grudge forever. That's Jeremiah 3:6-12. Here Yahovah has likened whoring unto idolatry, because idolatry is spiritual whoring. There is a physical whoring, which is between two agreeing partners in fornication crime against the Torah, and there is a spiritual whoring against Torah as well, involving idols, such as what is happening in this world right now. And let me explain. Every single year, on the 25th of December, under every green tree, the whoring that is committed in the world today goes way beyond most people's understanding. As this world celebrates the pagan festival of Christmas, an abomination that is spoken of in the scriptures at least 10 times. Get your pencils and your paper. I'm about to give you a list of scriptures. Are you ready? Okay, here we go. Deuteronomy 12:2. 1 Kings 14:23. 2 Kings 16:4. And 2 Kings 17:10. You with me so far? Okay. 2 Chronicles 28:4. 57:5. Jeremiah 2:20. And 3:6. And 3:13. And finally, Ezekiel 6:13. Beyond this, let's note that in Jeremiah 3:6-12, which we just read a moment ago, Yahovah tells backsliding Israel to come back to him and that he will not hold a grudge or look on them with displeasure, as Yahovah is lovingly committed. This is a good example of how we are to be in a marriage union with each other. Allow me again to read Jeremiah 13:12, but I will add verse 13 as well. So that's Jeremiah 13:12 and 13. Go proclaim these words towards the north and say, Return, O backsliding Israel, declares Yahovah. I shall not look on you in displeasure, for I am lovingly committed, declares Yahovah, and I do not bear a grudge forever. Only acknowledge your crookedness, because you have transgressed against Yahovah your Elohim, and have scattered your ways to strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, declares Yahovah. Again, that's Jeremiah 3:12-13. Our Maker, our Elohim, our loving Father, makes a plea with Israel to repent from her idolatry and return home. We should learn from our Father, as he has also instructed us how to conduct ourselves as well. Yeshua, our Messiah, reminds us that we are to be like the Father in Matthew 5:48. Again, that's Matthew 5:48. Therefore, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Most people tell me that it is impossible to be perfect, but Yahovah reminds us that we can be perfect. Let's see a few examples of this in Scripture. Let's go way back to the beginning of the book in Genesis 6, verse 9. That's Genesis 6, verse 9. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with Elohim. Okay, was Noah without sin? Well, of course not. All have sinned and fallen short, all except Yeshua, our Messiah. The point being, when a righteous person falls, what are they to do in order to be perfect in the eyes of our Maker, Yahovah? Let's find out. Proverbs 24:16. That's Proverbs 24:16. For seven times a righteous man falls and rises, but the wrong one stumbles into evil. So, when a righteous person stumbles, it's not because they want to displease Yahovah or Yeshua. It's because that person was not focused on the kingdom for a second and were snared by the wiles of the devil. Once the ensnared person discovers their error, they quickly abandon the sin and return their focus to where it belongs, which is Elohim. Why do I say Elohim and not Yahovah? What? What's going on here? I say Elohim because Elohim is an office, which at this time consists of Yahovah, our Maker, Yeshua, the Messiah, and however many elders Yahovah has, which at last count was 24, according to Revelation 4:4. And don't forget, our Elohim has seven spirits that we know of according to the scripture as stated in Revelation 3:1. However, we're veering off the topic of marriage, so let's get back to the topic. Just as we have sinned and fallen short of our Elohim, but get back up on our feet and keep our hands to the plow and keep pushing towards the goal and endure to the end, we are to be every bit as forgiving with our spouse as our Elohim is with us. You see, marriage is a type and shadow of what is to come between us and Yeshua. Those of us that are being grafted into Israel are to be the bride of our Master, Yeshua, the Messiah. Just as Revelation 19:7 tells us. That's Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him praise, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife prepared herself. Again, that's Revelation 19, verse 7. In what way are we to love each other in our marriage? 1 John tells us in chapter 5, verse 2, how we are to love each other. I may as well add verse 3 to the mix as well, because we love our Elohim in the very same manner. John 5, 2 and 3. By this we know the love of the children of Elohim, when we love Elohim and guard his commands. For this is the love of Elohim, that we guard his commands, and his commands are not heavy. So if we are guarding the commands of our Elohim in our relationship with each other, as well as our relationship with our Elohim, we will be perfect in the eyes of our Master Yeshua Messiah. And if the Master Yeshua Messiah is pleased with us, so too will the Father, Yahovah, our Elohim, be pleased with us. We can see this in John 14:18-24. That's John 14:18-24. And I shall not leave you orphans. I am coming to you yet a little while, and the world no longer sees me, but you shall see me, because I live, and you shall live. In that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who possesses my commands and guards them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I shall love him and manifest myself to him. Yehuda, or Judas, not the one from Corinth, said to him, Master, what has come about that you are about to manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Yeshua answered him, If anyone loves me, he shall guard my word, and my Father shall love him, and we shall come to him and make our stay with him. He who does not love me does not guard my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but of the Father who sent me. These words I have spoken to you while still with you. But the Helper, the set-apart Spirit, whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you all and remind you of all that I said to you. Again, that's John 14:18-26. Again, Yeshua reminds us, even though the world does not see him anymore, we will. And we are in him and he in us. And the Father is in him. That those that possess his commands shall be loved by him. Yeshua, our Master, and also the Father, our Elohim. Not only that, but the set-apart Spirit of Yahovah will be sent to us in the name of our Messiah, Yeshua, to teach us all and remind us of all that Master Yeshua Messiah has said to us. I tell you the truth, those of us that practice Torah while here on this earth will not be lost when the Messiah and our Heavenly Father return. We will know the signs, we will know our Messiah, and we will know what comes next. Marriage is all throughout the Scriptures. It's in way too many places for me to quote all of marriage in the Scriptures. But let's take a look at this proverb. Let's go to Proverbs 18:22. That's Proverbs 18:22. He who has found a wife has found good and receives favor from Yahovah. Did you hear that? That's really cool. Have you been finding favor in the eyes of Yahovah? Has a new love come into your life? We are praising Yahovah for that. Let's take a look at Ecclesiastes 4:9-12, which tells us that two is better than one. Okay, let's take a look at Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one lifts his companion up, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how does one keep warm by himself? Although one might be overpowered, two withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. I think I'll go for the threefold cord. It really is true that a threefold cord is not easily broken. Now, I have been telling you about how men and women are equal in this study of Yahovah. I must also tell you that there is a chain of command, if you will. To find this, let's go to 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 3. That's 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 3. Become imitators of me, as I also am of Messiah. And I praise you, brothers, that you remember me in every way and keep the traditions as I delivered them to you. And I wish you to know that the head of every man is the Messiah, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Messiah is Elohim. Again, that's 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 3. So, many have taken this scripture and twisted it to the destruction of their own relationship by usurping power over their beloved spouse. Remember, you are equals in the eyes of Yahovah, even though there is a hierarchy, as Paul stated in 1 Corinthians 11. We must also remember that if a man starts usurping his authority over my wife, I will step between them and stop the nonsense, as a man should. Galatians 3:28 will help put things into perspective for us and help us to understand just exactly how Yeshua Messiah thinks about men and women, free and slave, and so on. That's Galatians 3:28. There is not Yehudi or Greek. There is not slave or free. There is not male and female, for you are all one in Messiah, Yeshua. And if you are of Messiah, then you are seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. Well, I've said this to say my wife desires a man with spiritual leadership in his being, because Yahovah made man this way, and I accept that. Likewise, my wife has an intellectual intelligence that runs circles around my intellectual abilities. And I rely on her very much with the gift that Yahovah has given her. That being said, there are so many abilities that we have that offset each other that it just amazes me. And it is truly obvious to us that Yahovah made us this way to offset each other's weaknesses and strengths. When we give up and give in to the Ruach HaKodesh, the set-apart spirit, our Father Elohim and Messiah Yeshua put us together. Both my wife and I are eternally grateful, and we do not take lightly what He has done for us. Each of us loves Yeshua, our Messiah, and Yahovah, our Elohim, first. As a result, we have been blessed with love that neither of us knew could be possible. Let's see if the scripture agrees with us to see just what Yeshua thinks about us loving him more than anything else. Let's take a look at Matthew 10, 37 through 39. Matthew 10, 37 through 39. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his stake and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life shall lose it, and he who has lost his life for my name's sake shall find it. It should be obvious to you now that we are to put Yeshua and Yahovah first, above everyone, above everything, above our spouse, above our children, above our friends and brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers. Yeshua is first, and Yahovah is first. Well, for the moment, that's all I have. Now, I know that I've only barely touched the tip of the iceberg on this topic, but I hope that I have given you something to ponder. Like all of our teachings, please take the words you have heard and test them to the scriptures. Also, pray for Yahovah to give you insight and wisdom. And as always, Matthew 7:7 and 8 tells us, Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. If you'd like to join us for fellowship, why not meet with us at 2:30 Eastern Time at KMSR1700AM.com and go to the Shabbat study page and click on the Skype link and you can join us for fellowship. And again, we will see you Monday at 8 p.m. for Ask, Seek, and Knock, and then again on the seventh day at noon Eastern Standard Time for another edition of Ask, Seek, and Knock Shabbat Study. Thank you for joining us, and Shabbat Shalom.
Hey folks, don't forget, today at 2:30 Eastern Standard Time, we have a Shabbat Fellowship, and we'd love for you to join us. All you have to do is go to KMSR1700AM.com and click on the Shabbat Study page. There'll be a Skype Fellowship link at the top of the page above the radio button. That's all you got to do. So, we look forward to seeing you today for Shabbat Fellowship at 2:30 Eastern Standard Time. And don't forget, coming up this Monday night, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, we're going to have another teaching on Ask,
Seek, and Knock. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.